The second scripture reading today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah, the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Don. I don't know how many of you were aware of a little ordeal that Lisa and I went through a couple weeks ago. We had a sewer drain issue at the parsonage. Started out with a toilet that wouldn't flush. And then it ended up being with the washer going that the bathtub and the shower started filling up with water. And we thought, we have an issue. Well, fortunately, there's people that can come out and fix those kinds of things. We couldn't see what was backing up, but the sewer folks saw that there were tree roots blocking our sewer. And they were able to go in with one of their little, I don't know, drills or whatever they do and drill out a 3-inch hole to make sure that we're probably okay for another year or so. May need to be more work to be done to get that so it's going to be more of a permanent fix. But they took care of it. And I thought this morning, maybe that kind of fits with what I wanted to talk about. Last week we were talking about the mess that we're in. And this week we're talking about the cleanup crew. For me, that was the sewer folks. Thank you for the 24/7 crew that could get here when others could not. And my question for us this morning in light of the Isaiah text is this. What's holding us back? Don't necessarily have to think about the whole sewer thing. That might be something you don't want to think about. But what is holding us back from pursuing that which God has prepped us to pursue? To pursue that which the scriptures even tell us there needed to be someone who was going to prep the way for the Lord. What's holding us back, and why do we need someone to prep us? Is it doubt? You know, there are some that have had a bad experience with the church or a bad experience with Christians. That's what holds them back. That's what's backing them up. They have associated our wonderful Lord and Savior, our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and they've associated it with an experience that was bad. And they can't get beyond it. Some of you, I know, because I've talked to some of you over the years, some of you have had bad experience in the past, and somehow, some way, over time, God has helped you to get beyond that backed up thing so that you could experience the fact that even though the church is imperfect, and you know what, we were talking about that this morning. I've got a group of people that are going to be joining the church, and we talked about that. The church is made up of 100% imperfect people. Because of that, We don't always shine real, real bright from time to time. But that doesn't discount the fact that the church is the best thing that God came up with for His love to be expressed in a world that so badly needs to hear of the good news of Jesus Christ. So for some, it's doubt. Some, maybe it's blame. My life is a mess and I blame God for it. Some of you can relate to that. Some of the things that have happened in your life and at some point in life, I hope you're not doing it now, but if you are, I hope by the end of this morning you'd realize there's a way to get through that mess. Blame. You know, the burdens that I have are such that the blame goes to God. I blame God. I cannot, because God took someone from me at a young age and I can't understand that. And I blame God for that. And it holds us back. Maybe it's sin itself. I just can't break my enslavement to the things of this world. I just can't do it. I am so tuned in to what the world wants me to do and how I like the way I'm living my life right now, even though it's not the kind of life that honors God. Sin blocks me from being able to grab that which God wants to grab a hold of me. Maybe it's the burdens. God could have taken some of these away, and He didn't. So God didn't answer the prayers that I wanted Him to answer the way I wanted Him to answer. And so, again, just like the previous one about blame, I blame Him for it. I can't take it. Maybe it's anger. God didn't take care of my need when I needed it. We think that's the case sometimes, but you know, God's timing is always perfect. And we usually don't see God's timing as being very good until we look at it from down the road and we look back. And then we can look and say, God, You took me from here to here. And at the time, I didn't think You were doing a very good job of it. But looking back, sometimes hindsight can see much better than foresight does. Maybe it's just unbelief. I just don't believe in all that spiritual stuff. I just don't believe it. How sad to not be able to experience what we can experience in Christ. And that holds people back. Maybe it's just that I have a very poor relationship with God. It's a poor relationship. And in having a very poor relationship, I hardly know Him. And because I hardly know Him, I really can't get through life very well because we're almost strangers. I could go on with some others. But I just wanted you to get a picture this morning of why I think to some degree God needed John the Baptist to come as a forerunner before Christ to let people know you need this one who's coming. And John the Baptist came to prepare the way for that. And in, to some degree, you and I sometimes need that someone or that something to prepare the way for us to accept that which God wants us to accept. The same thing that John the Baptist was trying to tell those folks who would come to him at the River Jordan. You need to repent of your sinfulness. You need to know that you need something because you're a sinner. Sometimes we need prep work. Just like my sewer drain needed some prep work to get the stuff going through the way it's supposed to go through. Why isn't it natural for everyone to accept the gift that God offers? You know, for some, maybe there isn't much prep work that needs to be done. I guess I didn't realize when I grew up in a Christian home that there was a lot of prep work that was being done for me. Before I even came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, a lot of prep work had been done. Now, as I lived my life and I thought, you know, right from a very early age, it seemed that this thing that my parents were teaching me and my brothers was something that was very important to them and started to make sense to me, but I still had to come to that point. But they did prep work for me. Some people didn't have that kind of prep work that I had. And even if I had that prep work, it doesn't mean I'll always respond in the affirmative. Why was John the Baptist necessary before the Messiah came? I look at Isaiah 41 and 2, and maybe we get a hint of it right there even. He says, comfort, comfort, because it's been hard. Comfort, comfort my people. You know, it's been hard for those folks. Exile's been a part of what's going on. This is a very difficult thing that's going on, and that exile came about because they had been making a mess. The exile wasn't God's fault. The exile was their own. And Isaiah is saying right here in this text, comfort, comfort, because it's been hard. Yet it was brought on because of sin. And he's saying that there's someone that's going to come to make sure that people get the reason why it was even necessary for him to come. In a much different way than what they had envisioned. Even the disciples themselves, the apostles themselves, thought that Jesus was going to get this thing done differently than the way he did it. He would rule an earthly kingdom back then, and instead, the cross was his path. The voice of one calling in the desert in verses 3 and 4. Someone is going to clean this up, the voice proclaims. In essence, isn't he? A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill be made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. This one who is coming to prepare the way for the other, the voice of one calling in the desert, with letting them know someone is going to come and take care of this mess, and I am preparing the way for him. The glory of the Lord will be revealed. We'll see it in verse 5. It says just that. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all humanity together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. John the Baptist proclaimed it. Jesus Christ fulfilled it. The Holy Spirit preps our hearts for that as well. But yet there are still those out there that have a real difficult time with what's going on because all they can see is the here and the now and nothing else. Sometimes we can't see beyond the end of our nose, and so they cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass. Their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade. That seems kind of depressing in a way, doesn't it? Surely the people are grass. It withers. But the word of our God stands forever. John the Baptist, Isaiah himself in this text, sharing with us, there's someone is going to come. His glory is going to be revealed. The word of our God will stand forever. And when I cry out and I don't know what in the world I need to cry out, and I think that's what a lot of people are doing. They don't know what to cry out. They don't know what's going on. They just know my life is a mess. They know I don't have any security. I don't have any safety. I don't know how to deal with fear. I don't know how to deal with any of this stuff. And they're crying out. They're saying I'm in trouble. And I need a fix. And it needs to be a permanent one. Because it doesn't seem like this world is going to give me that permanent fix. And Isaiah says, the word of the Lord stands forever. That gives me peace and solace to know that. And no matter what is going on in this world, no matter how chaotic it gets, no matter how much bigger than we think we can even deal with it gets, I'm still reminded the word of the Lord stands forever. That God is in control. John the Baptist was preparing them, and I think the Church of Jesus Christ needs to prepare the world out there for this one who already came, and we're aware of him, and we follow him, and we serve him, and they need to hear of this permanent fix that you and I know about and have accepted in our own lives, in our own hearts. John the Baptist told the people who were gathered there, salvation is coming. It's coming. Hold on. It's coming. It's soon. We know that salvation already came, yet some don't know it yet. Shout it from the mountaintops. Verse 9 and following in that text. Shout it from the mountaintops. Don't be afraid. He will rule and reward those who follow him. He is the shepherd. He holds us close. He is gentle and he loves. John the Baptist was trying to tell the people who would listen. He's coming. The solution is coming. I can only imagine living in those days, 700 years or so before Christ came. The fix seemed a lot more distant, didn't it? We're in exile. What's going to happen? I want you to know something as we end this morning. God didn't say, I'd take you out of the exile that you're in right now. He did say there would be a future. And God doesn't always take us out of the mess that troubles us. If it's an occasion, a situation that we can't change, it's going to happen. He doesn't take us out of that all the time. But what he does do is he takes us through it. And that's a promise. He will take us through it. Not always out of it, but he'll take us through it. And that's when you and I need to hear John the Baptist. We need to hear, you know, he's coming to our rescue alongside of us, but maybe not to rescue us out of that, but to take us through it. There is ultimately a rescue. I'll tell you, everyone in Christ will be rescued. Everyone will not only get through it, but you'll have victory over it. It just may be that we have to live in exile for a while. But we still know salvation has come. John the Baptist told us about it. The Word of God has told us about it. The Holy Spirit has told us about it. And so we have nothing to fear. People need to hear this not just from John the Baptist, not during just this Advent season, or not even through the season that takes us up, Good Friday, to Easter, from the Word. They need to hear it from us. We can be John the Baptists in a way, preparing someone else's heart for what can take care of them. And so I encourage us during this Advent season to let people know there's an answer to what you're crying out about. And it is Jesus, the one who came as a babe in Bethlehem. The one who died for our sake and rose again. The one who we'll celebrate in just a moment through communion. He is the answer. He is the cleanup crew. He'll take all that sewage in our life. He'll drill a hole and say, okay, it's gone. It's gone. It's taken care of. I took care of it. His fix is permanent. You don't have to keep coming back every year to get it taken care of. He took care of it once for all on the cross at Calvary. Remember that. All right. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for John the Baptist, written about here hundreds of years before Christ came. God, you knew that the people needed to have to be prepped for the one who was coming. Lord, there are many out there in the world today that need prepped for the one who came. They're not ready yet. But we can help them. we can be a part of that, preparing the way for the Lord in their lives. So God, help us to show them the cleanup crew is coming, and the cleanup crew is one. The cleanup crew is Jesus Christ. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.